ever since then. I thought, well, thank you, Lord. We spent considerable time this morning. You could have told me this morning, but His ways are not our ways. And, the good thing about God's ways, they work. Amen and amen. I want to share something tonight. I don't know if it's a little preaching, a little teaching, a little exhortation. It certainly comes from a pastor's heart and certainly comes from the well of experience of not only being in the ministry for the years that we've been, but also in knowing Christ. And what I'd like to minister tonight is the power of a sound mind. The power of a sound mind. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And I repeat that because it's just so frustrating to me to be in an audience and they give something so quickly. I went, what was that? And I'm trying to find something. I don't even know where it is. But we're in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. That's where we're beginning. And in the third verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we're still in this world, we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The warfare I'm talking about tonight is not with guns and bombs and bullets and power bombs and rockets and whatever else could be used. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're not the weapons that the United States Army or any other army would use. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing I know just as well as this microphone that I hold in my hand. The battle ultimately is in the mind. I received that from an evangelist. We were traveling out of the Voice of Healing with Dr. Gordon Lindsay, and I forget where we were. We were someplace out of state, up north or east. But I never would get into service because God had done a mighty work in his life. God had restored him from insanity and selling pencils on the streets of downtown Dallas to an international evangelist who traveled all over the world and led people to Christ and brought healing and deliverance to God knows how many lives. And I had the privilege of working with not only this dear brother, but a number of other men who were used in the same way. But he said, never forget the battle is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. So let me read that one more time. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against, the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now let me just give you the punchline right up front, then we'll put some meat on the bones. God not only has the power to save you, and as far as we understand, we've had a good altar call here tonight. I'm presuming that everyone in this chapel is born again. and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He not only has the power to save you, He has the power to keep you. But the level of victory in your life goes back to knowing how to take captive and take authority over your thought life and over your body. If I could reverently say it, someone who comes to that dark hour of self-destruction, they were deceived. I've seen that more clearly in the last few years. They loved God, but they just didn't know what to do with themselves. And they didn't, unfortunately, did not have good Bible teaching or follow the teaching that they heard if it was good Bible teaching. Though you're born again, we are still in the process of, Paul said, I bring my body under, bring my body under. Amen. And your mind, you say, well, I just can't help that. Yes, you can. After tonight, you can. In the natural, you can't. In the natural, the mind's a rebel. In the natural, the body has a tendency to be a rebel. Some people have more problems with eating than others do. And some have a tremendous problem of overeating. Some have a tremendous problem of undereating. And we've had experience in both situations in helping people. But the purpose of this church is the full, whole counsel of God. Some people say, well, what is the most important thing in the Bible? What doctrine is the most important? What truth is the most important truth? The one you're having a battle with right now. Where you are right now. If it's cancer, or if it's lust, or if it's greed, or if it's unforgiveness. Whatever you're having a battle with, God has given us power. God has given you power not only to save you from hell, save you from all your sins, save you from, God only knows what the past has been. God has the power to save you from the guttermost to the uttermost, as the old saying is gone. But God also, in His Word, has the power to help our bodies to be in line with Him and to bring our minds into subjection. Now some people, everything that's wrong with humanity is a demon. And everything that we battle is back in the shadows, yeah, there's satanic influence, but everything's not a demon. Amen. Some of it's just flesh. Some of it's just rebellion. Amen. Yeah, I've already cast out more than one devil since Sunday. I don't talk about all that much, but I've been right in the middle of spiritual warfare, and I've seen the devil defeated, soundly defeated since Sunday. Amen. To God be the glory. But you see, it goes back to heredity and family environment and things that were involved, you know, through parents, and call it what you will. Wherever you came from, whatever you battle, wherever you are now, God's bigger than anything you face. That's what I'm trying to say. If He's big enough to save you, He's big enough to keep you, and He's big enough to instruct you how to live a victorious life. By my own craziness, I spent about 2.5 years before I totally committed my life to God, and I got myself into every once in a while, you know, Satan will always try to come leverage off of what was your weakness in the past. If you don't watch it, he'll try to leverage off the weakness of the past. But the same God that delivered you from the past will keep you in the present. Amen. And there are things that I wish that I hadn't seen, that I hadn't learned, that I had not done. You say, well, I never heard you talk like that. Well, I don't talk like that all the time, but I talk like that when I want to help somebody that I think will listen. Everybody's not in the mode to listen. But I'm here to tell you, the power of a sound mind. Jesus came not only to set you free from the sins of the past, save you, but he came, praise God, to give you freedom in your mind. He came to give you freedom in your mind. Now, very quickly, I've been jotting scriptures just as quickly as I could, but just a few scriptures that I wanted to share with you. The Bible said in Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Or the carnal mind is an enemy of God. Or the carnal mind is at war with God. And Paul in Romans 7 said, you know, I really want to do the right thing, but something within me is battling against that. Who can deliver me from the power of this death? And thank God for Romans 8, the first revelation chapter I had in the Bible after totally dedicating my life to Christ and to the preaching of the gospel. And I've lived for God from that day until now. But I was in and out, up and down, off and on, up and down like an elevator, you know. I couldn't get near any kind of a revival or altar call because I'd go forward. But I didn't know what to do with me. So I got a little salve for my conscience. Then I'd go back to doing and thinking and pursuing what I was before. I've always had a tender heart toward God. I just didn't know what to do with me. You know? And I think a lot of people are in that situation. Some people just are, seems like, so anti-God, but most of us aren't that way. We just don't know what to do with us. But the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's what the Bible said. And the Bible said in Romans 8, verse 6, it said to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is kill you. Your mind can kill you. Minds kill, I mean, thoughts that originate in the mind kill people every day. It doesn't take a gun to do it, honey. It doesn't take a gun to do it. It can be a knife. It can be a 10-pound club like Cain and Abel got into it with back in the Old Testament. It can be any instrument. My Lord, it's getting to where I hate to open the newspaper. But the many ways people are killing so many people, it's crazy. You know what's wrong with people? They need Jesus in their hearts, and then they need Jesus in their minds. Of course, as Charlie said, dear God, you take all the narcotics, the alcohol. Society is pickled. I mean, I'll go through the paper, 2-3 entire pages, just liquor alone. I mean, the whole page. All right. But anyway, to be carnally minded is death. And I'll just simply say this, to be carnally minded can bring you to a premature death. To be carnally minded can bring you to a premature death. The gospel came to set you free so you could enjoy life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. 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 Word of God said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Let this mind. It's amazing. Very few people understand that and get a hold of that. But I'm going to tell you tonight how to start letting this mind. In fact, I'll give you a jump start on that. Start reading your Bible. Start reading your Bible. Read the Gospels and read the book of Acts and read the Pauline epistles, and you'll get a jump start on how to start renewing your mind. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that you might not be shaken in your mind. It's amazing how many Christians, it's hard for them to stay on track Sunday to Sunday. That's why I say people need church today more. They need a New Testament church more today than any other time. You've got television all the time giving you crazy thoughts, ideas, trash, fake news, and all the rest of it. But, the Bible said that you be not shaken in your mind. God doesn't want you to just every day just be a series of in and out, up and down, off and on. He wants your mind to be stabilized, and the way to be stabilized is in Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7. I love this one. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Did you know so many things are sold out of a spirit of fear. You're afraid not to have that product. You're afraid not to be trendy. You're afraid not to be a part of something. But God has not given us the spirit of fear of anything or anyone. Listen to me. The fear of anything or anyone. God has not given us the spirit of fear, and fear is a spirit. The fear of anything or anyone, but of power. And that word power is dunamis power from Acts 1:8. It's the same word. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God has given us the spirit of power. He's given us the spirit of love. Love never fails. The true love of God never fails. You walk the love walk. Thank God you'll win. You'll win again and again. You'll win. And a sound mind. So any kind of a spirit of fear. I'm just like you. Every once in a while, I'll wake up with my mind running like a shutter on a camera, thinking impossibilities about different things and different people. And I have to just get up and tell myself, shut up! I'm not going to think that way. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority, dominion and power over this thought right now, or these thoughts right now, and I command you out of my mind and out of this house, and I command you to be gone. I command you out of my memory bank. Don't leave any residue in my memory bank. Go in the name of Jesus. When you have a bad dream, wake up long enough to take authority over, nine chances out of ten, if you're having a difficult dream, you'll go lie back down and just pick up the same dream. Does that not work on anybody else? All right. If that's not your problem, don't worry about it. Then, you know, one of those you can't get there from here dreams, you know. Or the only room left in the city was a bad hotel room, and it could go on and on and on. God gave you the power. Listen to me. God gave you the power to take authority over your thought life, over every negative of the past, over every negative of the present, and by faith, over every negative of the future. There's not a week that goes by. There's very few days that go by that Bob Nichols does not engage and become engaged in warfare in the spirit. Because when you have as many things as I have oversight of, and people calling and different things happening, I never thought I'd have this kind of responsibility. We have ministers calling for advice. I had a minister call it was almost like a Solomon deal. I said, oh God, I'm praying in the spirit while I'm listening to him. But the answer came. The answer came. Amen. Hallelujah. God didn't give you that mind to drive you crazy. Never say again, this is just driving me crazy. I'm serious. Don't say it. Just don't say it. How many parents say that you're going to drive me crazy? It might happen. There's a possibility there. If we leave a door open, all right. Now just have patience with me. Have mercy and grace. I'm trying to help you. Here we go. God hasn't given us any kind of a spirit of fear. If there's a fear, there's an answer of God that is available. Praise God. But of power, love, and a sound mind. 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Put a big lock, a Holy Ghost lock on your mind. Amen. When you start thinking in a certain direction, stop that and lock down. I mean, don't sit there, I don't know, I've been thinking about that for an hour. You should have killed it the first 30 seconds. Amen. The quicker you act on a thought that you know is not of God, the quicker you're going to get the victory. The longer you sit there and let it rock around in your mind, it will go, but it's going to take you a little more time. And Of course, we just got through readings in 2 Corinthians 10:4. And let me just read it again. For the weapons, for though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. This is, I remember Joy's cousin, he was a big old boy, and he just kind of thought, he was a smart guy, but he just had simplistic thinking. And I remember one night he had really made a mess of some things, and we all prayed with him, and he got up from the altar, and I can't put this mic down right now, but he put one hand out, and he got that fist, and I thought he was going to tear his hand off. He said, if I could just get the devil, this is what I'd do to him. Boy, he was all, well, that's not the way you win the battle. It's not a flesh and blood. You can't beat his brains out. He doesn't have much brains left, but what he has, he's using them. Praise God. Casting down imaginations. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Praise God. Bringing into captivity every thought. Don't play with any thought that you know is out of line. Now, I'm not being spooky with this. I'm not, you know, I didn't say don't think on, we live life, okay? We live life. But I mean, you know in your heart, you know in your spirit, when you're beginning to think a thought that it's a dead-end street, it doesn't work, it never has worked, you know where it ended last time with total frustration and so on. The moment a thought comes that you know is not of God, nail it right there. In the society in which we live, through advertising, through computers, and through all the garbage, it's almost impossible to live life without seeing something on some kind of a regular basis sometimes that you shouldn't be looking at. And the moment you see something that you shouldn't see or something you know is not of God, you need to take authority over that right then. Amen. It's an old saying. It's so old, but you can't help the birds flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Don't let Satan find a resting place, a lodging place. And the moment you know that something, I mean, a bad attitude or a hurt feeling or becoming offended, offense is the legal drug of Christians today. You don't even have to go to the pharmacy. You don't have to go to the doctor to get permission. Christians can have it, and they always justify it. But I'm going to tell you, a spirit of offense is worse than being hooked on drugs. Amen. I think sometimes I see a better deliverance record off of people that are hooked on drugs than people who are given to a lifetime of offense. They're offended at everything, everybody. What do you mean that? You know, you can just drive yourself up the wall. I'm talking about the power of a sound mind. The power of a sound mind. I said the power of a sound mind. The power of a sound mind. So what is God saying to you? You know, you need to just identify that. You need to identify thoughts that are not of God. That's not hard to do. You know that. And then you need to know what God's word says about that. Amen. That you literally have the mind of Christ, but you've got to let it operate in you. Amen. Praise be unto God. You identify it, and you stand against the power of the enemy. Amen. And you know, I want you to just look over to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through about 22. The Bible said concerning Christ's victory, concerning Christ's victory, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? What is the power of God toward us who believe? How powerful is your God? He was powerful enough to save you, and he's been powerful enough to keep you, or you wouldn't be here tonight. He's been powerful enough not only to save you, he has been powerful enough to keep you. But the Bible said to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The kind of power that God is making available in this chapel tonight is the same dunamis dynamite power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to say that again. That's a heavy statement. It's a strong statement. Praise be unto God. God did not save us to just turn us loose and let us be the whipping boy of Satan, and that life just beat us up on a continual basis. He saved us that we might be world-class overcomers. And you know, the thing that never ceases to amaze me, a lot of people really get hung up on hereditary sins and sins of the family and et cetera and so on. But you know, some of the greatest victories that I've seen in people's life, I've seen in people's lives that literally crawled out of a sewer of craziness. I mean, it seemed like everybody in their family was half crazy. But they heard the gospel, they got into the Word, they let the Word get into them. And the most powerful thing in your life is when God's Word becomes your Word and when your Word becomes God's Word. When your Word's what Grandma said, or when your Word's what your favorite friend said, or when your Word's is what some preacher that might not have been on track said, then you're going to lead a up and down, off and on, scatterbrain type of Christian experience. But God wants you to know he had the power to save you. He has the power to keep you. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Hallelujah. We are kept by the power of God through faith. And yet on a daily basis, we all face, now some more, some less. Some people seem to live a very quiet, peaceful life, but all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer some conflict. There's going to be some decisions to make. No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how super spiritual you may be, you still have to be an overcomer. Because either you will overcome this world, or I promise you this world will overcome you. And God gave you the power for you to be victorious, for me to be victorious. Revelation said they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. I've heard the story many times, many ways, but the man that was the author of Amazing Grace, probably one of the most sordid past that a man could ever think of having. If you haven't heard it, maybe someday you will. But it's you talk about a past that is total hell on earth. And yet, he humbled his heart before God. And the grace of God changed his life. And that song, Amazing Grace, I know they said, well, it came from a tavern tune over in Ireland or wherever it was somewhere. I don't know where it came from, but I know the words. And I know it's been overtaken by the Spirit, whatever the past was. But anyway, do you know there are over 200 ways that you can sing Amazing Grace? Now, I still prefer the Amazing Grace I've heard all these years. I mean, that's just me. I'm not trying to preach that as doctrine. But there are over 200 versions of Amazing Grace that are in the world somewhere here today. What an awesome song that came from a man who had been in the pits of sin, pits of sin, pits of sin. You look at the Apostle Paul. No one would call him, no one would call Paul by his resume to pastor a church. You might get him for a one-night sensational evangelistic rally, you know, and get all the weirdos in, you know. I mean, challenge people. But I mean, Paul was a mess. Paul was a mess. He not only killed Christians, he enjoyed every minute of it. And he felt like he was doing God a service. this man was given to a spirit of hell itself. But the grace of God. I never cease to be amazed at the grace of God. Some people look like they, my precious wife, God love her, she served God all of her life. But that's not the testimony of everyone. Not the testimony. I look in her countenance. There's just a sweetness about her countenance. She served God all of her life. And in her growing up years, teen years, she played the piano and the organ for her daddy in his church. And now she's a real faith woman. Turn around and married a preacher. Now that's a faith woman. You be raised in a preacher's home and you turn around and marry one. I'm telling you, that's a real faith individual. I can promise you that. Amen. But oh, I marvel at the grace of God. Now look at the Apostle Paul. Who would have chosen to save him? Just strike him with lightning, Lord. I mean, just take him out. Take him out before he kills another Christian. And you know, personally, my doctrine, strictly of Bob Nichols-ology or whatever you want to call it, I believe the 8th chapter of Romans was the answer that Paul found in his spirit to find his peace with God after the sordid past that God saved him out of. I believe it was the 8th chapter of Romans that set him free, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I personally believe that, and I believe I'm, just leave me alone, I think I'm on track on that. But I believe the 8th chapter of Romans, that nay, in all of these things, we are more, not less than, but more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. My, praise God. But even though you're born again, the battle's in the mind. Everyone may have a different battle. What affects you doesn't affect me. What tempts you wouldn't affect me. Or maybe it's the same. Who knows? But we all face things that must be overcome for you to keep on going to level after level, higher and higher in the things of God. Amen. And you know, I look around this church, you know, it's an interesting thing. As a pastor, I know things that nobody else knows. Only God. No, really. And I say that very reverently. I know backgrounds. I know things that happen. Some people I know nothing about. Aren't you glad? Don't you hope you're in that category? But some people I thought, if I was God, would I ever save them? You know. But the grace of God. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace my fears relieved. How gracious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to shout it from the housetops. No matter what kind of a mess you're in, Jesus died on that rugged cross of Calvary to set you free from your sins and to save you from your sins. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. But now we have to deal with the nasty now and now. Huh? Now we deal with the now and now. And for some, it's a greater challenge than it is with others. But whoever you are and wherever you've come from tonight, Jesus is in this chapel to set your mind free. As I said, I've had an experience of casting out devils since last Sunday. And it was someone else that got someone else in a mess. Someone else that got someone else in a mess. And then they became bondage to that. And then there were certain manifestations that were just absolutely driving, just about to drive them over the cliff. But I'm telling you, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. No matter what the challenge is, no matter what the lie is or was, no matter who they or what or it or this or whatever, whatever, whoever, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. And the blood of Jesus will forgive us and set us free from all sin and from all weakness. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the thought that God, the thing that God just put in my heart, tonight God is going to set, if it hasn't already happened, if you've tracked me, if you followed me close enough, if you've already said, yes, Lord, it could have already happened. But I know that God's will for everyone in this chapel tonight is that you leave this chapel, you leave this property free. And thank God, as it's been said, thank God Almighty, free at last, free at last. Hallelujah. You know, some people are going to heaven, but there's such a struggle. Every day is a struggle. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel righteous enough. I don't know whether God loves me or not. You know, just all that if stuff, question mark. Just shut up, devil. Get out. Recognize where that confusion's coming from. Recognize where all that's coming from. Recognize who the author of that is. Satan is the author of confusion. Satan is the author. God's not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. God's not the author of depression. God's not the author of discouragement. That comes from the pits of hell. But Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And I tell you, the Ephesian letter is such a strong document to tell us who we are and what we have in Christ. Now, let me tell you what this church, I can summarize some things. This church is all about, number one, Bible salvation. And God doesn't create anyone to go to hell. God does not create anyone. Sometimes people come and say, well, I can't pray the sinner's prayer because I don't know if I'm ordained to go to heaven or go to hell. About that time, I wanted to tell Satan, go to hell. You know, you're tormenting spirit, you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all of us should come. If that's your will, but God will not violate your will. God doesn't make you do it. It's a faith response on your part. So you recognize as a born-again believer that this confusion, this pressure, a series of things going wrong. I mean, in home, there can be a time of just confusion in homes. And some of you just need to, when no one's there, just do a cleansing on the house. Just walk through and say, in the name of Jesus, according to the name, the word, and the blood of Jesus, this house is not a house of bondage. It's not a house of confusion. It's not a house of cards of lies. Hey, I'm here and I take authority, dominion, and power over all the power of the enemy. I remember two places where I worked. I always had a summer job and always enjoyed doing that when I was actually in junior high. I started working a summer job, and I just enjoyed being productive and doing something of that nature. But I remember two businesses in particular, that those places were hell on earth. And it was there's usually an instigator of that type of thing. I didn't know that much about spiritual insight, of course. I knew very little in comparison to what, of course, I know now. But, you know, I remember one time I thought, what is wrong here? And I heard Flip Wilson say, if there's no devil around, who's up to all this devilment? Well, you know, that's theology pretty quick right there. If there's devilment going on, there's bound to be a devil around. Somebody's being influenced by the devil. And you know, Paul, that's what Paul, I've read through Galatians about three or four times this week. And Paul said, if somebody's trying to, don't let anyone trouble you. Don't let anyone put you back in religious bondage. Don't let anyone put you back in the works of the law. Amen. I don't do what I do for brownie points to go to heaven. I do what I do because I am saved. I am born again. The fruit of a born again believer is to do the works of God. Not to be saved, but just because I love Jesus. Amen. But I remember as little as I knew back then, I remember one day I went out and got my car and I said, in the name of Jesus, it was a crude prayer. I didn't really know how to frame it real fancy like, because I was in my teens at that time. But I took authority. I said, I command the devil out of this place. And you know, I walked back in and that whole plant was a different place. It surprised me. It surprised me. God's given you power. God has given me power. He hasn't just given the preacher or the pastor or the staff power. God's given you power over all the power of the enemy. And he even goes so far as to say, and knowing that and believing that, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, if you don't know that and you don't practice that, there's a lot of things that can hurt you, even though you're born again, even though you know Jesus. Identify the source of what's coming against you. Know what God has said about you. Know what God has said about you. I've never seen a consistently strong Christian who did not know who we are and what we have in Christ. The in Him truths are just a treasure chest of necessity to live an overcoming life. To know who we are in Christ, of Christ, because of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God when He suffered, I suffered. When He died on the cross, I died on the cross. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Amen. I'm crucified with Christ. Thank God when He was raised from the dead. Thank God I was raised up. Hallelujah. I love the spiritual symbolism of water baptism. We need to preach that more, and we need to see more of it practiced. But it shows going down and coming up, you in Christ. Hallelujah. Someone said, well, I had a red hot experience, and I've been away from God, and I've run from God. You know, if you've rededicated your life to Christ, you just may need another dip, friend. Not a Levi Garrett, but I'm talking about baptismal waters. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So you identify what's coming against you. You realize what the Word of God says about you. Hallelujah. That God, in fact, you know, the Lord said even before the finished work of Calvary in Luke 10, He said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Now that was grace power. That was a grace power that was given before the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. But my Lord, since the finished work of the cross of Calvary, you have power. As we sing that song, wonder-working power in the precious, through the precious blood of the Lamb. You don't have to be defeated anymore. You don't have to go back to that slime pit of sin. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to get your spirits out of a bottle. Get the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Most of what I'm saying tonight, I said it in that process of seeing Satan's power defeated. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. I'll tell you, when you operate in the name, the Word, and the power of Jesus, there's not an ounce of fear that can overwhelm you. You know you're more than a conqueror. You're not less than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Amen. Praise God. Yes, well, that... I guess so, because you've got everything in the world going for you, preacher. I do and I don't. I do and I don't. If I swap places with some people, they'd jump off the bridge before the night was over. My victory is in Christ. My strength is in Christ. There's no way you can pastor 54 years without the grace of God in the driver's seat most of the time. I wish all the time, but most of the time. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do what this church has accomplished from nothing, from zero, from no people, no money, no nothing, 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 nothing. And God raised us up in a post office building, and then God moved us out of a 200-seat chapel into a 2,000-seat chapel downtown. Someone gave me a clipping from that very time, 1,300,000. Anyway, it's the same figure I've been saying all these years. There it was in the Star-Telegram. And then when the tornado came and we lost everything we had in 44 seconds, here we are 17 and a half acres, three miles from where we were. And God has given us a new Christian, new to us, new Christian school in the process of it. Ronald Reagan said, not bad, not bad at all. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God wants to take you from wherever you are tonight. You're not too young to learn. You're not too old to learn. You haven't been through too much crud to learn. Thank God you can start in this chapel tonight. And God's will is for every one of you to leave this chapel with us, if you don't have it, with a sound mind. And stop putting up with Satan's guff. Stop putting up with Satan's lies. Sometimes you just need a good night's rest. Amen. Never make a major decision when you're fatigued and when you're tired. Amen. I've seen so many pastors that resigned and retired and even left the ministry, leave a church when they were tired, worn out, and their mind was tired. I've learned from the mistakes of others, and God has helped me to rise above most of the mistakes that I've seen along the way. But I'm here to tell you, thank God, God's will for you is for you to be a world-class overcomer over all the power of the enemy. And that nothing, from this night forward, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Dr. Lester Sumrall. Dr. Lester Sumrall is going on to be with the Lord. We went to Israel with him four times. And awesome man of God. He went to the Philippine Islands, and this lady that was so filled with demons, she'd almost killed even armed guards that would come into her cell. And Lester Sumrall, he couldn't get a breakthrough in the Philippines, couldn't get a breakthrough. And God spoke to him and said, go pray for that girl that's so demon-possessed. No one, they slide her food under the door. The stench of her body, no one would mess with her. And Lester Sumrall, Dr. Sumrall, pastor from Indiana, going to be of the Lord, of course, now. He went to that prison. He said, I want to pray for that girl. They said, no one. The warden did everything he could to try to talk him out of it. Did everything he could. Said she'll do you bodily harm. We can't even guarantee your safety going into her cell. She is more crazed than anyone we have ever seen on the Philippine Islands. He said, God told me to do it, and I'm going in the name of Jesus. Praise God. You know, they had armed guards, and they opened the door and pushed him in the cell. And I don't remember every little detail of it, but I know one thing. That girl didn't kill him. She didn't hurt him. To my knowledge, she didn't lay a hand on him. But God gave her power over every demonic power that had ruined her life. And that deliverance went front page all over the Philippine Islands. And it opened his ministry to the Philippine Islands. Dr. Lester Sumrall, the worst demonic case that anyone in history, they said. I don't know who that person would be. Pitiful girl. Continually blood clawing herself, continually hurting herself. But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than all the power of the enemy. Oh, the name, the word, and the blood of Jesus is greater than your anxiety attacks. It's greater than your fears. It's greater than confusion. It's greater than someone that told you when you were much younger, you'll never amount to anything. I heard that in the third grade myself. Yeah. But I'm telling you, there is one in this room tonight. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He'll take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. He'll take you from total confusion to total victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Father God, we lift our hearts and we lift our voices to you tonight in this room. We lift our hearts and we lift our voices to you tonight. Lord, I don't know when I've sensed the anointing of God in a Wednesday night service like I sense it tonight. Lord, I thank you for changing the message I thought I had, which was a good message. But God, your message for this night. Lord, I'm asking you. In fact, let's get the slate clear here. I know we've already prayed once. I want everyone in this chapel that will, I want you to pray with me. If you want God's best, I want you to pray with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you now. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ, your Son, came to this earth to die on the cross of Calvary for all my sins. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, every power of hell was smitten and broken. Jesus, I receive you now. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, forgive all my sins. Birth me into your great family. Change me, Lord. Help me to be the Christian that I've always desired to be. I say in the name of Jesus, your name, Lord Jesus, I am now born again. I am saved. I am changed. My life is hid with God in Christ. And I thank you for hearing my prayer. Lead me from this night forward to a victory that I've never dreamed possible. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Statistics tell us that a high percentage of those that go to prison will turn right around and go back to prison again, because the spirit that was responsible for them being there, I'm not condemning the person, but what was responsible for them doing whatever they did and being sentenced and going through whatever they've gone through, that same thing will come and attack them, and they won't know what to do with it, so they'll just follow through with that. You say, how important is deliverance? How important is it to be free? We had a young man that came, was on our staff. The judge told him with the sentence that he had, three life sentences, through a miracle of God, I'm going to set you free. But if you ever encounter the law again, you'll never see daylight in the free world again. You'd think a man that had that kind of word spoken over him would do whatever he had to do to go straight. Got out of prison and went to a Joyce Meyer meeting, thank God, gave his heart to Jesus. And his life began to change. The problem was he got too busy. And God used him, and he came here, and he was our prison minister. Never forget, I was in Jerusalem when our prison minister went back to prison because he thought he could dabble with sin again. First time in his life he had a credit rating. First time in his life he had a wife that loved him. First time in his life he had a decent car, truck, vehicle. First time in his life he had respect. For the first time in his life, he was on a church staff getting a salary. But sin is no win. You can't get by with it. No one has ever gotten by with it. Sin is no win. And he passed away in prison. A sick man. Refused to even see. We helped him in so many ways. There's such a this church has a compassion record anyone that ever says there's no compassion at Calvary, no grace at Calvary, they just have no idea what they're talking about. There's more things that have been done behind the scenes than this ministry over the years. The ways we helped him. And one night I crossed his path coming in from preaching, and he'd been out dabbling in sin. I begged him, brought him into the office the next day, and Brother Dale Gentry and I, we pled with him, we dealt with him. Please, judge yourself while you can. But if you don't judge yourself, you'll be judged. Died in a prison, sick. You see, that's a sad story. Sin's a sad story. And sin affects bankers. It affects scientists. It affects Wall Street people. You remember the Enron, whatever that was? I mean, all of that pyramid thing, and then all the scams and all the things that happened. It not only affects a man in crime out in a neighborhood, it affects the up-and-outers, the billionaires, the millionaires. But little sins become big sins, and big sins can take you out prematurely. But God's will is that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. I've done a lot of reflecting on the grace of God in my life the last few days and weeks and months. I am overwhelmed to see the grace of God in the life of Bob Nichols. How God took my nothingness. And it seems like he's done a lot of good things along the way in my life and in other people's lives. I want you to purpose in your heart tonight, I'm going to serve God with all that I have. I'm going to serve God with all that I have. You have plenty of time before all the fireworks go off. God wants fireworks in your own heart tonight. It's more important to have fireworks in your heart than it is to see them over the hill. There's someone here tonight. Now, I know I've gone from the little to the extreme here tonight, because that's the kind of people Calvary deals with. I don't know how in the world some people have lived as long as they have. But this church is here to help people. It's here to set people free. The Jesus in this church is here to set people free. Our purpose is not to make us great or famous, or I've given up trying to be anything great. I just want to be great in his kingdom. But if tonight you're having any kind of a mental battle, and just because I've given some extreme, they're not extreme, they're real stories, but I mean, that's not everybody's life. But little foxes spoil the vine. Little worries become big worries. Little depressions become big depressions. Little spirits of offense become big spirits of offense, to where you don't trust anything or anybody. You don't even trust yourself. God wants you to be free. Hallelujah. Someone did you wrong. I watched public television for, I don't know, about 30, 40 minutes. Dr. Ben Carson. That man's genuinely born again. He's the smartest of all 17 running for presidency on that platform. And I have never seen such a rude group of Congress people, I guess. They were insulting. They were rude to this man. Rude. I felt, I was praying for him just watching television. And you know, he just had a little smile on his face. And he just had such a cool way of answering everything that was said from one lady that's become exceedingly obnoxious in the news media all of a sudden, very obnoxious, to crazy stuff. And I looked at that man, and I thought, the grace of God. And they say, you don't know anything about poverty. You don't know anything about how people suffer. You don't know anything about not the homeless. You don't know it. And he said, well, and he rattled off his past. I forget how many children did his mom have? 10, 12, what was it? and a mama that worked three jobs, a mama that didn't know how to read or write, but she made sure that all of us children got an education. We were homeless. We were on the streets, just having to live in some kind of a place of shelter from time to time. But then the time came that God helped them to have a home, some kind of a home. And here this man is, heart was what he was specialist for. Is that right? Heart or brain? Heart surgeon. And I thought, the grace of God. And he quoted about three or four scriptures. And someone said, well, being as you're using the Bible. Yeah. It's about time we start using the Bible. It's about using it in the right way. I thought, the grace of God. This man has gone through everything he's gone through, made the sacrifice that he made to be the surgeon that was world and is still world famous. And then stands before people that are elected that don't have enough brains to be there. And keeps his cool by the power of God, the grace of God. I'll tell you, God will help you to stand in face of the belch of hell. Hallelujah. Daniel, stop praying or it's a lion's den for you. Can't stop. Hebrew children, stop praying or it's going to be a burning fire furnace for you. Bend and bow or you'll burn. They said, do what you got to do, King. Joseph, everybody does it. No one will know. Joseph said, God knows. I cannot fail my Lord. Well, hallelujah. I'm fired up tonight. God has such a good plan for you. So whatever it is, maybe employees are giving you a hard time. Maybe you're going through a physical infirmity. I'll tell you what, I'm just, as God speaks to you, it doesn't take a long time. I'm not going to take a long time. Well, I mean, I can't and pray for several people. There's people there that just need a touch. The moment I lay hands on you tonight, the power of God is going to break the chain of bondage. I said the power of God has already broken the chain of bondage on the cross of Calvary. And as I pray tonight, that bondage, the breaking of that chain of bondage will be manifested. Can you get this out of the way for me, if you will? Praise God. In Jesus' name, praise be unto God. If you need, yeah. All right, lift both hands. Lift both hands. Are you ready to be free? Now, I'm not putting anybody in a certain category. We all need God. I need God. We all need God, but we have Him. In the name of Jesus, free in the name of Jesus. Now, we can't move. You're going to have to be a hen here. You're going to have to move them over. Amen. I've got to keep moving. All right, you need prayer. Just come on. Come on. You're free. Hey, look at me. You're free. Receive it. All right. There you go. Praise God. You ready? In the name of Jesus, free. I say free, thank God Almighty, free in your mind, your body, and your spirit. We're somebody real strong.